What's up, guys? Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with
Coach Nick or Gnocchi.
Nick and Gnocchi. Nick, welcome to the Challenge Show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm really well. I've got exciting news.
Okay, go for it. Semi-exciting news. Oh, what is it?
Yes, there's lots of things happening in my life. I'm having my first child this year. I'm recently engaged, so I'm getting
married. Congratulations.
No, I don't have a date set yet, but I did go down on one knee, and I'm now an engaged man. I'm an honest man, as they say. But my little sister, she's getting married. Yeah, within the month.
Lovely. Yes.
So my little sister, a few years younger than me, she's getting married. She's doing a little ceremony. A little bit about my little family history. I'm going to be walking her down the aisle.
Right. Oh, that's
beautiful. And she's asked me to wear a suit, right? And if anybody knows me outside of the challenge, I live in activewear. It's all that I wear is activewear.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. And I went to put on some of the shirts that I have at home, and everything is quite tight. And tight in a good way.
Yeah, good tight. So yeah, shoulders.
Yeah. And, I've got to put on my blazer, my trusty suit blazer, and I can barely fit it around my shoulders. And I think in the past, I used to be quite anxious about that, of clothes not fitting anymore because I've gotten too deep. But then now I kind of embrace it, right? Where, in the past, this thing, I'm getting fat, I'm not heading in the right direction. But now, because I've been dedicated to transforming my body in a positive way to build more muscle, I get excited when I don't fit any clothing.
Yeah, right? I agree.
And on the fun side, the not so fun side, I have to go shopping. And for me, that's not a fun experience. Some people love shopping, but for me, I can never find clothes that fit me well. I'm sure there are some guys and girls out there who can understand this. When you go to buy like pants and it's tight around your thighs or tight around your calves and loose around your waist.
Yeah.
Or you go to find shirts and it's really loose around your midsection but then tight around your arms. And you're like, why don't they make clothes for me?
I think that's why we live in activewear, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just those daily problems.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
I think it's like the elastic in the activewear that's a little bit stretchy.
Yeah.
You feel a little more comfortable and loose.
You just can move.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We like to move.
Well, look, I thought today, would be a great time to talk about building muscle, right? And, maybe using myself as an example where, I was dedicated to being as lean as I could in what seems like a previous life. And now I'm more comfortable in the body fat percentage that I am now because my goal is to get stronger and build muscle, really trying to hone in on what I'm trying to achieve. Sure, I'm on the train of fitness, I'm heading towards fitness, but my goals, following me on places like Instagram and stuff, is around hypertrophy and building muscle. And I can tell you that building muscle is so much harder than going through a calorie deficit or dieting, in my experiences. Like, building muscle is hard.
Right.
And I thought today, we could talk about how, perceptions change as we modify our goals, especially around building muscle, and how our approach to lots of different things from our training, our nutrition, our lifestyle has to kind of shift. And it's a very different process. Even though we're on the train of fitness, we're heading toward fitness land, it's very different to if we want to lose body fat or if we want to run faster or if we want to be better at a sport. Like, hypertrophy on its own is difficult.
Yes, right? I think we've been taught very well about how to lose body fat, really. I think that's something that everybody pretty much understands, but I think this other side of it needs a lot more unpacking.
Yeah. And especially as modern fitness now, many more women are entering the gym, which is awesome, and many more women are getting stronger and focusing on resistance training programs. And we know that one of the most effective ways to improve our body composition is to focus on resistance training, where we are building muscle, so that we do increase our metabolism, as in how much energy we expend. We do start to change the shape of our body with building muscle, so it's an important process. And we do need to understand that that process does come with some side effects that we need to be accepting along the journey.
Yeah, we need to embrace it, otherwise our journey will come to an end pretty quickly. We will reach the, if we're not eating for it, when we reach that limit.
That's right. So, look, if we're talking about the challenge, we're wrapping up the challenge at the moment. So we've just finished week 12, and the January challenge is now complete.
Yes.
And
well done, everyone.
Well done. Congratulations. And look, we're seeing lots of challenges come out on our social medias, on our journals, on the website, and posting about their transformation experience. And our most popular programs are our weight loss programs. Mm. Things like our Tone and Shape for Maxine, and our Lean and Ripped for the guys. And those programs are popular because most people want to lose body fat.
That's
fair. Most beginners want to lose body fat, and most of the time we enter a fitness journey for superficial reasons. Oh, I want to look good naked, I want to have a six pack. But it does get to that point where we can't continue to lose body fat forever.
No. Right?
We can try to maintain our level of body fat and body composition for a certain amount of time. It gets kind of hard to maintain it because if we're eating at a low level, we're kind of training at a low level, so then our muscle is likely to waste away and these types of things. It gets complicated.
Yeah.
And often what we need to do is go through a cycle where we kind of go through the classic bro, like bulking phase, and then the classic bro, I'm using quotation marks here,
bro.
Shredding phase.
And you're doing the bro kind
the
of.
The bro.
Yeah, we just
bro lean while I do those quotation marks. Okay. Nick, have you had this type of experience where you had to kind of transition from maybe this like weight loss focused part of your life to maybe more of this like muscle building focused part of your life? Have you had those experiences before?
Absolutely. I reckon for the first maybe, let's seriously say, even older than what you are, maybe 30 years of my life, it was all about just weight loss. So only since I've gotten into really the bodybuilding journey, where it's actually part of the sport,
mm-hmm.
to come back better. And the only way that you can come back better is to actually spend some time building the areas that you may have had feedback on that are weaker, or you can see from your progress pictures, you're actually trying to build the ultimate symmetrical body. So your job is really to get into that gym and do that. So most of the time you are building. And often, being someone who is in the fitness industry and quite public, people will tell me exactly where I'm at. They'll say, oh, gosh, have you put on weight? Even like a week after I finished my last show, somebody said that to me in the studio and I was still really lean.
Yeah.
But, it's part of the process where you have to actually spend some time. And actually, to be honest, when you spend the time doing what I'm doing now, you actually crave that time. Yeah. You go, oh, I can't wait until... And it's not an excuse to eat like a complete idiot. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about structured calorie increases and things that are going to facilitate the sport.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have, and I'm respecting it more and more every time I do it. And when I can see the differences in my physique as I lean down, I think, thank goodness I did that and I trusted that. And so I have some tactics as well that I use to make myself feel better over those times. So therefore, I've got a wardrobe of clothes that I might just pull out for that that look nice anyway.
Yeah.
I might do a photo shoot and get all glammed up and celebrate what I look like on the beach or things like that, because it's nice to look healthy. So, yeah.
So, keeping with the theme of today about building muscle, I think we could start by kind of talking about why. Right? Why do we want to build muscle, right? Mm. When we kind of see what's commonly marketed as a fitness thing, we think of, Les Mills body pump, we think of F45, we think of CrossFit, where people are running and jumping and swimming and lifting all the weights and such, and we think of someone who is chiseled and has that six-pack and, is toned and has that shape. And I think, it's important to think about, why are we trying to build muscle?
Yeah.
And the first and foremost thing that we're the reason why we want to build muscle, and when we're going through fitness, it's important that we have a structured resistance training program, is that muscle will give our body shape.
Yes.
Right? Most of the time when we enter a fitness program and we want to lose weight, we don't want to just be skinny, right? We all know what a skinny person looks like. Most of us want to look strong. We want to feel confident.
Yes.
And part of that is to have the shape of someone who looks athletic, right?
Yeah, and the only way to have that is the muscle.
Is the muscle, right? And we know that through resistance training, where we are challenging the muscle to work at a higher capacity, the muscle grows in size, and then the resting tone of the muscle increases, so the muscle looks firmer, right? And then that can change the shape of our body, where we don't look like he's skinny and maybe floppy look, where everything looks loose. When we saggy. Go through saggy, maybe. Mm-hmm. When we go through a strength training program, like the nerves to the muscle increase, so the muscle has a toned appearance to it, right? Mm. So often when we see men and women joining the challenge, they want to get lean, they want to get toned, they want to get in shape. These are the words that we associate with resistance training, mm-hmm. not with cardiovascular training. Mm-hmm. When we go through cardio, often we're getting skinny and we're getting good at running marathons, right? And you think of what a traditional marathon runner looks like. They're skinny, they're lean, and they can run.
Yeah.
Great. If you want to be that athlete, if you want to have that body shape, great. But often when people join the challenge, you know, they want the six pack, they want the toned arms and thighs, and that comes with structured resistance training.
That's right. And also, yeah, the marathon runner, there's going to be less muscle there because muscle is actually annoying for your body to maintain. It doesn't want to. But your body's like, oh, this is heavy.
Yep.
I don't want to maintain this. It's going to take an effort. Yep. Let's get rid of it.
Yep.
And so, that's the other battle that you have to face. You have to try and keep that muscle.
Yeah. A couple of points there. We know that muscle is really expensive tissue to maintain, right? It requires lots of calories to maintain muscle. And if given the chance, the body will expend muscle at any chance.
Yeah, see you later.
Right? Because if you're starving yourself and you're trying to complete physical activity, the body goes, oh, well, I don't need this muscle right now. I don't need all these muscles in the arms because I'm just running all the time. I'm going to get rid of that muscle.
Yeah.
Right? And that leads to the second point where the body adapts to whatever position you put it in, right? If you are prioritizing running, your body's going to get good at running. And when you're running, you don't need really big biceps or really big chest or really big back. It will get rid of that muscle, right? Or even just like big muscles in your thighs. It doesn't need really big muscle in the thighs. It needs kind of that slow twitch, smaller muscle. So it will modify that. So two points. One is that muscle is really expensive to maintain. And two, your body adapts to what position you put it in.
Hmm.
Right? Which is kind of why we want to promote resistance training within the challenge, both on our weight loss and muscle gaining programs, is because if muscle is so expensive to maintain, and if you had more muscle, therefore you will require more energy throughout the day to maintain that muscle.
Yes. Right?
And then you will also expend more energy to maintain that muscle. So if you compare someone like myself, I'm about 100 kilos, and I would be about maybe 12 or 13% body fat. So that then suggests that I maybe have 85 to 90 kilos of lean body mass on me. That's being bones, organs, muscle, everything in between. So my energy requirements would be much higher than, let's say, you, Nick, where you're probably hovering around that 50 kilo mark and a much smaller person than I am. So I need more energy to maintain, right? So that means that I still have a similar size stomach as you. So even if I'm stuffing my face all day, every day, trying to eat as many calories as I can, that might end up me being in a maintenance, if not calorie deficit position at the end of the day, even though I'm stuffing my face all the time.
Yeah.
So someone might look at my diet and go, oh, Steve, you're eating all the time. And I go, yeah, because I'm expending lots of energy.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately the goal we want to get everybody into, where they're eating as much as they can to lose weight.
That's utopia. That's the best ever. That's what we all want. You want your calories to be able to be as high as you can, and your body fat percentage to be as low as is healthy, and your muscle mass to be high, and that's what we're trying to achieve or help people achieve that kind of, and that's where you get that look.
Absolutely. So, Nick, let's talk about why we want to build muscle.
Yes.
Let's talk about how we build muscle.
Okay.
So, do you want to kick us off? If someone came to you and they're like, Nick, I want to put on as much muscle as I can.
Yeah.
What process should that person go through? How would that person do muscle?
Okay, so first off, I have to say, you have to assess body fat because you want to get people reasonably into a leanish position so then they can build muscle. It's it depends. If someone comes to me that is, a little bit, quite overweight, we'd actually do a little bit of a calorie deficit cutting phase first, so then they're in the most optimal position to build muscle. So that's where I'd start. So you have to look at each person's individual case, which is what you can do when you go to sign up for the challenge. You can have a think. You can go, do I need to do something like a tone and shape first before I start to gain muscle? Because you need to put your body in the most optimal position to be able to gain muscle. So that would be the first thing I'd do. Assess what's going on for a client. And often then they'll spend some time losing body fat, and there will be something underneath, if they've trained regularly or anything like that, just so they're not a complete beginner, and that's really nice to see. And then from there we would start rebuilding the calories and start to go into a phase where then they would spend some time. I wouldn't necessarily, not for a woman this is just like predominantly women, let's just say, wouldn't shove them on a huge calorie surplus. There's no need. Even just a little bit more than what their maintenance is really good and optimal for them to start to build some muscle. So
yeah.
I would manipulate. So, yeah, that, I mean, this is a long-term thing. So you'd probably say like the first 12 weeks of somebody. So just say you're signing up. Just say the challenge is the example. The first 12 weeks, if somebody's quite overweight, I'd have them doing a cutting program and then I would introduce the rest. There's no point in going into a calorie surplus if you're sort of already sitting there, you haven't really trained that much, and you say you want to build muscle. Let's just get rid of the excess fat first to make it optimal.
Yeah. So you touched on some interesting like science-y points, right?
Where you can explain more.
So you're kind of referring a little bit to the idea of a P ratio.
Yeah.
Without boring too many of the listeners, it suggests that there is a optimal muscle building body fat percentage.
Yeah. Right?
Where it's unclear what the optimal is, and it's slightly different for each person. But we know that in really low body fat percentages, it's really difficult to build muscle. Right.
Yeah.
Let's say a guy, if they're, you know, at comp ready position, 6-7% body fat, that individual is going to find it really hard to build muscle. Same as like a woman, if they're really lean and they're maybe like that, you know, 11-13% body fat, very difficult to build muscle. Also, on the flip side, if you're a guy and you're, you know, 30-40% body fat, again, you're going to have a difficult time building muscle, mainly because you're not really going to see it. And then also we face some problems with adipose tissue and stuff, right? So the optimal kind of area is kind of this maybe like 10-20% for guys and maybe like this 15-25% for girls. So that we are in a relatively lean and fit shape. We're not super lean. We're not, quite overweight. We're in this fit position so that we can build muscle.
Yeah, that's where I feel personally best results can be achieved. So it's the best thing to hear because that's a plan for everyone. You can just see where you fit and then take it from there.
Yeah.
So because if you're not sort of already getting some good, like, biofeedback markers, there's no point in trying to add something else in, such as this complex process of building muscle. And because you won't even necessarily be able to measure what's going on, because your strength might go up a little bit, but as we know, like, if your goal is to actually build muscle, you don't know what's going on underneath everything else and how you're feeling and your recovery ability, everything might be impeded, might not be able to breathe properly yet. So very important to respect that process first as well.
So we've touched a little bit on nutrition for building muscle, right, where we know that, you know, building muscle is kind of like building a house, right? We need supplies.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't build a house if you're limited in supplies. No. So we need a surplus of supplies that we can constantly add to build this house. Now, sometimes when we are in this surplus, you know, your body, if it's trying to build the house, it doesn't know if it's currently building the scaffolding or currently putting down the foundation or adding the roof on yet. It might just put in more, I'm going to call kind of fluff, and that may be represented as body fat, right? So part of the process for gaining muscle is to consume a surplus of energy, and we're defining that as a surplus of calories. And that surplus of calories has an option to be added towards our muscle mass or other parts of our body, and that could also include body fat.
That's right.
Now, for a mass phase, needs to respect and understand that a certain level of body fat will be gained through muscle building process.
It's inevitable. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And, you know, we can see that in, let's say, pro bodybuilding, right, where there is that classic cycle of competition season where everyone's getting lean, and then there's that, like, building season where everyone gets a little bit fluffy, right?
Yeah.
That's totally normal because we want to eat in an energy surplus so the body has all the energy it needs and in the best position to build muscle.
That's right. And then also for that, like, say if we're looking at a bodybuilder, you also need to do that to restore and replenish your metabolism and things for them when you go again for your cutting, because if you live your life in a deficit, it's going to get harder and harder to actually lose that body fat as well.
Absolutely.
So that's why a lot of women stall, because it's almost, and unless you've been around it for a while, it's almost unheard of to go, what, eat more than what I burn. But wait a minute, then I'm going to go on 10 runs. I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah.
And you might even have the energy when you start to eat more than what you burn. You have the energy to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just such an interesting process, yeah. And it's something that everyone has to go through.
So apart from calories and we trying to be in that energy surplus, our other nutrition profiles are very similar to what we would recommend in a weight loss process as well.
Exactly. So, it's not hell for leather. It's not ham.
No.
You need your micronutrients as well. And that's actually for nutrient partitioning and things like that. It's the best idea is to actually get whole foods. You know, it's not an excuse to have like 20 packets of froggies or whatever. You know?
we're not in a dreamer bulk.
No, that's not a good idea.
And we kind of see that kind of change. And I think the idea of a dreamer bulk a dreamer bulk being that you'd have a really large excess where we're having like a pizza every night and drinking a liter of milk every day to try to boost our energy intake.
Mm.
And that might have been popular, you know, around like that, the early 2000s, maybe the early 2010s. But then that's kind of been modified a little bit. And you actually see that a little bit in our plans where some men who have come back for the size and strength program, they might have completed the size and strength program in the past where we were having guys consuming 5,000-6,000 calories a day.
Mm.
We found that a lot of those individuals just ended up putting on a lot of body fat and didn't actually put on much size.
That's right.
Now we've kind of modified it slightly to put most people in just a slight energy deficit, energy surplus of a couple of hundred calories per day, and that's more than enough to promote this.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. That's the latest. That's the absolute way to do it. And even now, with bodybuilders, you find, unless they've got a lot of work to do, but if you're already pretty much ready and you do the Olympia all the time, they don't go absolutely crazy, especially not the women, that they sort of stay fairly lean now and just work on building a few things. So that's when you get to that point, and that's sort of the holy grail.
Absolutely. So, you know, talking about macronutrients, same distribution where, most of us are aiming for about 2 grams per kilo of body weight in terms of protein. Fats, we want to be aiming at a minimum of about that 0.6, 0.7 per gram of fat per day as a minimum. And then if anything, carbohydrates, we want to be actually pushing that quite high and having as many carbs as we can so that we can promote and fuel our training sessions.
That's right. And that's where you need to, if you're going to do this, you need to track. You can't say throw the scales away. This is where you actually need to track. You need to see how quickly things are happening for you.
Mm.
You know, it's also a good idea to keep an eye on waist measurements, other markers like that. And just if it's happening too quickly, you might think, oh, hang on, I maybe don't need that many calories because it's not all going to be muscle.
Yeah.
It's simply not. Yeah. And so you can actually do it in a slow, measured, controlled way, which will probably ultimately give you a better result because there's going to then be less fat to cut.
Yeah, after. Now, still talking about nutrition, another thing that we can consider is our overall fiber intake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we are eating in an energy surplus, and if we are always leaning towards whole foods, there's a chance that we end up having lots and lots of fiber intake. Now, lots of fiber intake can affect our bowel functions, and it can also lead to lots of lethargy and bloating.
True.
Right? So let's say if you're a guy and your energy surplus would be 3,000, 3,500 or more calories per day, and if you are having lots of fruits and vegetables, you may find that the volume of food that you need to eat to consume that amount of energy is really high. Right?
Is your sore tummy.
Yeah. Where that's when we go through strategies such as increasing our meals per day. Instead of having like maybe 4 meals a day, we're trying to have closer to 7 or more meals a day just so that we can help to space out the food intake. And then we might actually choose to opt for foods that you may have previously thought were, quote, bad. Right, where you might choose to have like a white rice instead of a brown rice because a white rice has a lower fiber intake. So more, it's easier to eat and we still get a similar energy intake and you won't feel as full after. Right?
Exactly. And see, the funny thing is, so it's white rice and brown rice. We're not talking about milky bars. You know, that's where it's like foods that are going to pass through reasonably quickly and not cause your digestive system any problems. That doesn't mean 10 thick shakes.
No.
But see how I keep talking about these? These are obviously the things that I'm drinking. I keep mentioning it. Milky bars, frogs, and thick shakes. I wouldn't touch them, but I don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah.
Well, look, we're speaking a little bit about nutrition. Mm-hmm. I think the next step is to talk about training. Where I think the training side of things is probably the actually harder side of things.
Yes.
Right? where, you know, if we are going through a weight loss process, you know, going through training is kind of simple. You know, we're getting, we're kind of expending a bit of energy, we're trying to build some muscle, but when we're actually focusing on building muscle, it is difficult, it is hard.
That's right, and it's a fine line, because you think, you know, you do see now, which is fantastic, but people saying, you know, lift heavy and you'll build the muscle. Sometimes it's not always about doing your one rep max to build muscle.
No.
There's a very big difference between building strength and building muscle.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, when we're talking about hypertrophy training, the general guidelines now is that we can lift in a very large rep range, right? So anywhere between 5 and 30 reps, build muscle. And that's slightly different from maybe previous advice that even we would have given, where we would say, oh yeah, high reps to tone the muscle and low reps to build strength.
Right? Yeah.
Or, you know, this idea of endurance and these types of things. But that's kind of been changed where we go muscle building occurs in rep ranges between 5 and 30, right, which is quite large. Anything under 5 is probably closer to building strength.
That's right.
So that we are building a high level of motor recruitment, meaning the nerves triggering muscles to contract. But muscle really happens anywhere between 5 and 30 reps. Yeah. Now,
and also you can get super strong and not look jacked.
Yeah.
You can.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's another trap that people fall into, when they go, but I'm lifting like I can do 100 kilos for 3 reps, and why don't I have massive quads and things?
So. That's happening. And if you don't believe us, go watch some of the Olympic weightlifters.
Yeah.
And you see some girls who are competing in the under 48 kilos, and they're, you know, jerking 140 kilos over their head. And you're like, oh, geez, I can't do that.
There's a difference between strength. And I think that anyone can be forgiven for not knowing that. I think it's taken me a long time. And still in my head, my default position is to go, oh, I'm just going to lift a whole bunch of heavy stuff and get out of there, you know, 6 reps or less and never go over. And I have to always remember, oh, okay, building muscle, it takes a lot longer because you have to also spend a lot more reps, a lot more time. You rest less in between sets. Yeah. But other than that, it's just this. And you've got to make friends with that 12, 15 rep type situation.
Yeah. Like right now, my favorite rep range is probably that 20 to 30 rep range.
Oh my gosh, you would love my hamstring curls then.
Yeah. So the next step in hypertrophy isn't just about the amount of reps. It's about the proximity to failure.
Yes.
Right? And failure is defined as technical failure. So, you know, let's say like a bicep curl, right? Technical failure would be when you are unable to complete another concentric rep, meaning you're able to do the bicep curl, or where your technique breaks down, where the bicep is no longer the target muscle.
When you start to swing.
Right? When you start to swing, or maybe you're bringing in lots of shoulders or pecs or forearms to try to get the bicep curl up. And that could be similar to, let's say, a squat. Right? If you're trying to target the quadriceps in a squat, and then you start doing a bit more of a good morning squat where you're using lots of that lower back muscle, glute muscle, okay, that would be technical failure. So what we want to do is to try to get within 2 reps of technical failure, right?
Yeah.
Muscle building is quite large when we're within 5 reps, but it's quite an exponential growth. So if you stop a set 5 reps from technical failure, versus 4 reps. 4 reps will mean more hypertrophy or muscle growth. 3 reps will be more. 2 reps will be more. 1 rep will be more. And complete failure will be more.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that the closer you get to complete failure, the higher fatigue we accumulate. Mm-hmm. That's quite exponential. Where if you were to stop most sets within 2 reps, that kind of maintains a certain level of fatigue. Versus if you took every set to failure, you're just going to accumulate lots of localized and systemic fatigue, meaning you're going to be tired, you won't be able to do more sets, right? So we're focusing on that 5 to 30 rep range. We're taking most of our sets to close to failure, meaning between 1 or 2 reps of failure, which means that we're training hard, right? If you've ever taken a set to complete failure, it's hard. It's constantly hard. And that's often the problem that we face in the challenge, where simply we're not working hard enough. And that's right. You might be saying, well, Steve, hold on. I work hard. I get tired. And that's the difference, where you tire yourself out rather than training your body.
Yeah, definitely a difference between level of perceived exertion and technical failure. They're two different things.
Yeah,
sometimes you might even need someone who's experienced to have a look at you and go, no, you've still got a few reps left in there.
Yep.
You know, it's now your mind that doesn't think you know, that you can do it.
And we look at things like volume prescription, right? Volume meaning total amount of sets that we do. And some individuals would be coming from a training program where they were doing 30, 40, 50 sets per session, mm-hmm. right? And for me now, if I'm going to do, let's say, a legs-focused session, I would do maybe like 3 sets of squats and then maybe 3 sets of a hamstring curl-like activity and then 3 sets of lunges and then try to do some calf work and I'm gassed, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing maybe like 10 to 15 sets of exercise, taking most of them to technical failure, and I'm exhausted, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not systemically tired, as in I'm not like falling on the couch and unable to move, but I feel my muscle, I feel it, I feel that pump, I feel that sensation, yeah. I feel that localized fatigue where I know that I've targeted that muscle.
Yeah, right? Definitely. And that, like, falling on the couch unable to move is more like when you've done your one rep max. That's where your central nervous system is fried and it's going to take you a few days to recover. With this type of training, you can go and hit another body part the next day, that sort of thing.
Well, if we're training wise, training smart, and this now introduces the idea of training age, right? So we know that whenever a beginner enters the gym, most beginner gains happen within that like 6 to 12 months, right? Yeah. Where it's something as high as, 80 to 90% of all the muscle you grow will happen in that first year of training. That's if you're training effectively. So realistically, over the first maybe 2 years of a training on the fitness train and going to fitness, doing literally anything, you getting off the couch and doing body pump, doing F45, doing CrossFit, doing bodybuilding training, doing powerlifting, whatever it is, you are likely to grow most of the muscle that you would grow in your life within that first 2 years. And that's a realistic kind of marker there. So it gets problematic when we see these amazing results in the challenge where some individuals have been training for 5 or 10 years, maybe like you and I think, where if I was to gain an extra kilo of muscle, I would be celebrating that over a year, let alone 12 months.
Yeah.
However, there are individuals who are the super beginner, never enter the gym, and they do any sort of exercise and they grow muscle, they grow that tone, they grow that shape that they want, right? So we do need to appreciate that the training age does affect our ability to grow muscle.
It does.
We also know that there is a very broad intermediate zone, and some individuals never leave intermediate, right?
Yeah, I'll say
that again. There's a very large intermediate zone where you're no longer a beginner, you're an intermediate, and some people never leave intermediate training and never actually enter advanced training, right? Now, what do I mean by this is that when we are exercising, it does take lots of skill. It's basically a sport, it's a hobby, to be able to exercise effectively. So you and I, Nick, we're in a position now where we've been training for so long that, if I was to do a squat, I know how to complete a squat and tax my quadriceps and only my quadriceps using a relatively light load to a point where I only feel my quadriceps working and my quadriceps are the only ones that are tired and my body isn't necessarily fatigued.
That's right. And you respect that. You get in, get out, do what you need to do, and there's no fuss.
No fuss.
Yeah.
And that's similar across most of my muscle groups. And some people call it that mind-muscle connection. It really just comes down to a skill of being able to contract that muscle.
Yeah.
So, when I am training my pecs, I feel only my pecs and not my shoulders, more my triceps. Yeah. And when I'm finished, I don't need to like lie on the couch exhausted or at the end of the day, feeling that complete tiredness.
Yeah, and it doesn't also, quote unquote, feel too easy.
No.
Too easy. Because, I really believe that you're actually advanced when you realize that everything feels hard.
If it's not hard, then it's...
That's right. So, it doesn't matter if you do a squat with an empty barbell. You can tax yourself with that. You know how to.
Yep.
That's how you know that you're advanced. So, if everything's too easy for you, you're probably still in that fun time where you're still learning.
And then probably the final, most important part of training for hypertrophy, for building muscle, is the concept of progressive overload. Mm. Right? Progressive overload meaning that each time we're trying to progressively, slowly, add more, right? And that could be adding more volume, most of the time adding more volume, or adding more load, right?
Yeah.
So that means that we are trying to do one more rep or one more set or add an extra kilo of load, or there's a few other variables that we can manipulate as well, such as increasing range of motion or type of exercise, that type of thing. So if you are not progressing, you're not going.
That's right. And you can do that. That can happen. It's not even your fault if you don't understand it. And that's what happens as well. People get get stuck. They go all the time. They think they're progressing just by going.
Mm-hmm.
And until you sort of figure out what progression really is, you won't get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we face this idea of pseudo progression, where or like false progression, where we think that we're adding more, but we're actually reducing another variable.
Yeah.
And an example, maybe in like a squat, you often squat 60 kilos for 10 reps, great, happy days. Then you decide to add 20 kilos to that. You squat 80 kilos for now 5 reps, mm. right? So you've added 20 kilos, but then you've just reduced the reps, right? Is it harder? It's hard to describe, you know, comparing oranges to apples. Another example would be, you know, you adding an extra 5 kilos to the barbell for a bicep curl. But then to achieve that, you end up swinging and you're getting lots of pecs and shoulders into the motion and using momentum or cutting the range of motion. So, okay, it's kind of a pseudo-progression where you think you're progressing, adding load, just because we told you to add load, but you're actually kind of making it easier for yourself.
Right? Yeah. And, even like the 60 to 80 thing, you can squat 80 with half reps and put it back in. I mean, if anyone's ever done like 60 for 15 or whatever, like full depth, that's torture, really, honestly, is because give me for 4, you know, 5, like, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll just be really happy. And why? Why will I be happy? Because it's not as hard. It's just simply not. And I'll just be wrapped. But then the thing is, nothing good will happen to me unless I'm going for that strength, phase where I want to get stronger.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I've spoken a little bit about that idea of building muscle versus strength training.
Mm-hmm.
And often they're kind of married together, but then as we kind of get more advanced, we see that the differences in them.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, when we're thinking about hypertrophy, we're really talking about the hardware. We're talking about muscle growing bigger, right? And sometimes, well, like the biggest influence of strength is how much hardware we have, right? But again, strength training often refers to positional strength, so strength in one motion, and then also the nervous system activation for that muscle as well. You can have a really large muscle, but then a really low nervous system activation for that muscle, meaning that it doesn't able to produce force. And then you can also have a small muscle with a larger nervous system input, which is able to generate more force. And again, that example of maybe like an Olympic weightlifter who's 50 kilos and they're clean jerking 100 plus over their head, right? Then you get those stereotypes of like, you know, gym bros that are all, show muscles rather than the go muscles, right? Mm. So, there is very much a difference, but they are married together because often as we build muscle, we get stronger, and as we get stronger, we kind of build muscle. So they're both on the fitness train, going towards fitness.
That's right. And slightly. You want to have that happy marriage between the two where you can do both. You can go, okay, I'm going to go through a phase where I'm getting stronger.
Yeah.
And you know that that's going to happen, and then muscles will come as well, but you've just got to know your goal. Mm-hmm. And also just PS. There's nothing wrong with having a goal to just be strong for a while as well, because that's the most empowering thing that you can have in the gym, and it's so much fun. So if you ever find that you're just getting annoyed at everything, have a little go at doing some strength training as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just refresh yourself, because that is a lot of fun. Yeah. But just don't think that it's going to give you body composition achievements, I suppose. Right. Yeah.
The final thing we touch on is lifestyle. Where, when we go through a muscle building phase, there is a little bit of a lifestyle shift when we're going through like a weight loss phase.
Yes.
So, for example, if you are experiencing stress in your life, that is literally going to turn down the dial on your ability to grow muscle. So, some individuals, if they go through a strength training program, they might be ticking all the boxes, doing everything right, but they live a lifestyle where they do have high levels of stress, and that is the speed bump, as you will, to stop them from growing muscle and seeing a change in their body.
That's the enemy of muscle growth.
Yep. The next factor would be things like sleep, right? Mm. If you have poor quality of sleep, number aside, it doesn't matter if you're sleeping for 4 hours or 12 hours, if you have a poor or low quality of sleep, that, again, is going to turn the dial down to muscle building. So you, again, might be ticking all the boxes, not feeling stressed at all, but you are spending all night watching Netflix and getting really crappy sleep, you're not going to see a change in your body.
Well, that's right, because honestly, muscles are grown when recovery happens, not in the gym. You do that and then you leave, and that's when the actual growth happens.
That's a really important
thing. They're not growing in the gym.
No.
They're growing after, when you're asleep.
Yeah. You stimulate the muscle to grow, but then the muscle growth happens over the next 24, 48 hours. Yeah.
So it's your responsibility when you get out of the gym to ensure that you're immediately recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, if you have to go to work and things like that, you can only do what you can do, but you at least have to facilitate some food into your body and making sure that you get that sleep, you prioritize the sleep mm-hmm. over the next episode in your show, you know, one more episode. You can't really do that if you really want to give it the best shot.
Yeah, absolutely. The next thing we can consider is this idea of the interference effect, right? Where sometimes in our life, we might be so physically active that interferes with our ability to train.
Yeah.
Okay. So that could be someone who has a really high physical activity rate or a really strenuous job. So let's say, you know, the tradies out there mm-hmm. Or people who work in like warehouses and stuff where they're constantly on their feet, running around, doing lots of heavy lifting, these types of things for their job. Of course, that individual won't be able to perform at 100% in the gym, right? That's similar to those who have lifestyles where they want to be active, right? So if you're a person who loves running because, you know, releases the endorphins, you get the running high, or you love cycling, or you love being active with your family, okay, that can be a speed bump to your ability to grow muscle, right? And we face those problems with challengers who come from that generation of aerobics, where they've been doing aerobics and group fitness classes forever. They want to change the shape of their body. They might be fit, they might be skinny, they want to change their body. They join the challenge, we recommend that they go through a muscle building process, and that person is unable to detach from activities that interfere with their ability to strength train, right? That's because you can't squat heavy if you've just gone for a 5K run.
You might think it feels heavy for you, but you will not know your true potential because you're going to be hampered by you're recovering from that run while you're squatting.
Right? Yeah. You just fatigue yourself. You make yourself tired. Right. You're not going to do those things, right? So
you can't have it all.
We're on the train of fitness. We're all heading in that right direction, but if we're being really specific about what we're trying to
about
do, we can't do it.
Yeah, specifically
everything.
Gaining muscle. Yeah. You can't do everything. You can do it. You just won't get the results that you may be after. So that's where you've got to revisit what your actual goals are.
Because
if your goals are to do a 7K run every day, then that's your goal. And then we can help you with that. We just say, this is what you need to do that. And this is the program you need to do. But if you're gaining muscle one, you need to, I'm pointing at this desk. Steve has to watch me do this. But the game requires specific, really like practices that you have to adhere to for your best results, and we want to see those results. We want to help you achieve those.
So look, we've spoken a lot about why we want to grow muscle. We've spoken about how we want to grow muscle, how we need to modify our nutrition, training, lifestyle to put that in position. And then finally, I think it's a great time to kind of summarize maybe some side effects, the positive and negative side effects of building muscle.
All right,
so firstly, if we're starting with probably like the big scary thing, is this idea of getting heavier. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is a very much an internal thing where, you know, maybe we've been constantly bombarded by media and such where we need to be lighter. Where, you know, your self-worth is what the number on the scales is.
Yeah, right? I think even as women, we're always told that you're better if you weigh less, if you take up less space, that sort of a thing. That's just in our psyches. It's starting to move away from that now, which is really good to see.
Yeah.
Scales are a tool, but sometimes we want to see them go up.
Yeah. Like now I get excited when my scales go up. Mm. Right. You know, when I'm in triple digits, I'm like, this is great. Right.
Yeah.
That's been a mindset shift of mine where I'm no longer focused on bringing the number down. I'm focused on how do I get that number up. And some of you might be listening and be like, oh, well, I can get the number up by smelling food. It's like, okay, you can do that for so long. Then it reaches that point where you hit the ceiling where it's like, oh, geez, it's hard to gain.
Mm.
That's one slightly negative where we're changing that mindset.
Right.
The next thing would be negative side effect is that we are likely to put on body fat.
Right? Yeah.
And often that body fat is represented in the inability to have a six pack. Right. So you might be going through a 12-week strength train, like a size and strength program or a get strong program. Your expectations might be that you're going to have the six pack at the end or be really lean. But what is likely to happen is that you grow more muscle, you increase your shape, you might look healthier, you might look in a better body composition ratio, meaning that you could see more muscle, but you might not be lean like other individuals who've gone through a weight loss program.
That's right. And definitely wherever you tend to, to store your fat, you might store a little bit more there, but then other shape will be growing. So like for women, you often see the first signs are that their shoulders start to develop. They start to get, you know, some lats happening, which is actually fantastic because then it actually makes your waist look smaller. You know, you might grow your glutes, you might grow your quads, which makes everything look, you know, more in proportion, more like an X shape. So, you just can't, choose. Like my body fat goes to my glutes.
Yeah.
It's like it's the last thing to go and the first thing to just say hello. And I know. And I'm just like, oh, well, we'll just have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. Because you get to know your body, you know, when you do this a bit and you go, oh, but hello, welcome back, bit of fat. And then you sort of know, it's sort of like shoving like things onto a pinboard or whatever. You just, I know all my markers and where things are going to go.
The sculpture where you're adding more play to it.
And it's like, okay, you're there, you're there, you're there, and I know when, and then when I start to feel pretty good and pretty happy with life, I know, okay, look, I'm carrying more body fat now because that's actually optimal, you know, for women. You want to have some. And you've got to remember, see, that's, I guess, going into a bit of a positive. Those things are priceless. You feel so good. You can have some really good training sessions. Your energy levels are up. You know, if you actually look at those markers as well as just other things, you then put yourself into a really good position ultimately if you do want to lose that body fat because you are starting from a really happy place where you're not doing 45 hours of cardio that you then need to. Because if you do 45 and you are where you are, then you need to do 50 to even lose anything. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, drop your calories, other stuff like that. So you want to. You want to build yourself up so you're in this awesome, you know, with all the cards like we talked about in another podcast.
I've got another side effect, and you can decide if it's a good or a bad side effect.
Okay. Go for it.
As you build more muscle, right, the muscle produces more heat.
Yes, so, right now, like, what am I wearing in the office?
Picture this right now. We're sitting in an office. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt, and Nick's in, I think, tracksuit pants and a big parka jacket, trying
lucky,
to keep warm.
Lucky in our office, we're allowed to wear what we want.
I'm in active wear.
But this is like a fully fleecy jacket. So, you get to feel probably what the temperature really is.
Yeah.
Because it's not that cold today, is it? Even though it's raining.
So
when you get pretty lean, everything feels cold.
Yeah, everything feels cold when you lean. However, when you are building muscle, if you have more muscle, the muscle generates more heat, right? Yeah. So that might mean that you, if you're an individual that often reports that they're cold, that could be because you have a lower muscle mass than other individuals. And then also the side effect of being warmer is you sweat.
So
for me, you know, I'm just like you if you're listening to this, where I sweat a lot. And I get told from my partner all the time, thank you.
But it's good because we have deodorant at work, so, you know, you're on top of that.
I'm on top of that. So you decide if that's a positive or a negative side effect where you are constantly warm, but then that also means that you might sweat more.
You're a furnace.
I'm a furnace, yes. Essentially a metabolizing furnace.
Yeah.
Other side effects is that clothes might not fit you, same way, right? Where you might need to buy larger size clothes and then those clothes don't fit you as well because they're designed for someone who might be larger in body fat rather than larger in size. So like I suggested, I struggle to find pants because they're always so tight around my thighs, but then always so loose around my waist, so I always have to wear belts and stuff like that, right? Similar to shirts, most shirts are really tight around my chest and my arms, but and really loose around my midsection. So I need to be comfortable in wearing those types of clothes, and that can be a side effect for some individuals as well.
Yeah, definitely. And like for women, I know there are some jeans out there that are made stretchy and things, and they're great, but there are conversations on Instagram about this. Just avoid everything and just go for the really nice active wear because there's so much nice stuff that you can wear now. Just avoid it and embrace the beautiful stuff that's out there that you can almost wear to any office these days. Just there's gorgeous stuff. And don't make it hard on yourself. Don't like wear rigid cotton jeans when you're in a phase where you're trying to build. It's not fair on anyone.
Other side effects, again, you could take it as a negative or a positive, is that first, you will never be as big as your pump. So when you're in the gym and you're training and you have the pump, you feel swollen. But once that pump goes away, you won't feel as big, so you'll never be as big as your pump.
Yeah, so true.
Yep. Another one is that you might need to constantly stare Cthulhu in the face, if you've read the philosophy, where you're constantly staring at failure. You're constantly staring at something that's hard and tough. So when you're in the gym, you constantly need to push yourself to that point where your body starts screaming no, or your mind starts screaming no first, and then the body. So that can be a challenge for most individuals. And constantly going up against that point of failure can be quite mentally exhausting, right? Yeah. So that can be a sign.
Definitely. And also, look, let's just keep it real. You might get comments from people going, I thought you were doing some sort of a challenge where, you know, people just think it's always about shredding. And, you know, I'm telling you, you can do that. No dramas, whenever you want. This fits the more challenging bit. This fits the bit where you get to find out where you're, what you're really made of, and then you ultimately get to get such an amazing physique out of it, but you've got to invest that time.
That's
so
right.
You may get some comments. So I guess that's a challenging thing.
Yeah.
But you can, if you feel the need to tell people, you can explain what you're doing.
Because ultimately, you know, if we kind of zoom out here, you know, if you've done one challenge, great. If you've done two or three, or if you've been training for a while, great. If you've been training in the same direction, such as I want to lose weight forever, your body does adapt to it, right? And it can just be this kind of like negative whirlwind where you just kind of end up getting skinnier, and you don't actually reach the underlying goal you're trying to reach, where most individuals want to be toned, shaped, that six-pack, that look, right? And sure, going through that shred, you can, up to a certain point. You're constantly shredding, you're eventually going to shred the muscle.
Yeah.
So a normal fitness career is to cycle through phases of building and the phases of shredding.
That's right. Yeah, because if I keep going the way that I'm going, I won't have any muscle.
Yeah, you'll waste away nothing. You'll be the marathon runner, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if you want to reach that goal of constantly building,
you have to build. So for me, I'll take my feedback, whatever that might be, and then I'll work on that for my next show, whatever that might be. So I have a goal. I don't want to live in this place. I want to be able to wear a t-shirt too.
Like you. So, look, if we were to put it all into kind of something like a challenge, right, where if you have just completed the Lean and Rip or the Tone and Shape program and you wanted to join us for the next challenge, I'm going to recommend that you try the Get Strong or the Build Size and Strength program.
Awesome.
Right?
Perfect.
So we go through this cycle of a building phase and then a shredding phase.
Perfect.
We need to understand that just because you started a Get Strong program doesn't mean you guarantee that you'll get strong. Right?
No.
Because if you're a brand new to resistance training, it's going to take more than 12 weeks to learn how to squat. It's going to take more than 12 weeks to learn how to bench press to failure. It's going to take more than 12 weeks to learn how to feel your biceps in a bicep curl again. So we need to appreciate that it can take a longer period. And just because you did a size and strength program, a Get Strong program, doesn't mean that you're guaranteed building muscle. And that's exactly the same as if you just did the Lean and Rip program or the, sorry, if you just did the Size and Strength program or the Get Strong program, and now you want to lose some body fat, we can't guarantee that just because you've chosen that program that you're going to get those results. You still need to put in the work and learn how to train that certain way, right? So cycle between the programs, Lean and Rip, Size and Strength, Lean and Rip, Size and Strength, or Get Strong, Tone and Shape, Get Strong, Tone and Shape. You might find that the skills you learn in either program can be applied, right? So if you are trying to build muscle and your limiting factor is that you're not fit, and you're out of breath at rep number 3 because you don't have the cardiovascular fitness to do those reps, you may benefit from going through a bit of a cardio training so that cardio isn't your limiting factor to building muscle.
That's right.
So a bit more to it. So you probably benefit as an all-rounded fitness person from cycling between the programs.
I agree. That's perfect advice. Yes.
So, Nick, any closing thoughts before we wrap up this podcast?
Don't stress about gaining muscle. It's the place where we mostly live. We like it. You know, once you get into that more advanced thing, you know, that's where you want to live. And I implore everybody to empower yourselves and just think about it a little bit more and don't panic when things happen with your body.
Yes. And let the gains begin.
Let the gains begin! Yes!
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Catch you next time.
Bye.